where your opinion matters. The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Yeah, and lots of your opinions coming in to us, and not many very happy with the situation at Letterkenny University Hospital on bed capacity. Greg, thankfully you've not been an inpatient or in a long waiting list, because if you were, you would know that there's so much wrong with the HSE that more beds and step-down care would not fix the HSE. I quite literally said that. I did. Firstly, by the way, I'd have a I live in the community I'm from here. I've been in the hospital many times. I have a very good understanding of it. My both parents, in-laws, etc. So I'm acutely aware of what's going on. That's why it's so important to me. And I also said, then I did say that this, because it was said during the course of an interview that the solution to a lot of this is step-down care or more beds. I'm acutely aware as well that that is actually not the case. I really appreciate texting in, though. Richard Kelly, cancer patient, haematology, oncology. Good morning to you, Richard.
Good morning, Greg, and thanks for taking the call.
No, thank you for speaking to us.
Well, it's not easy for me, but I want to bring awareness to the fact that the Claddagh Wing in Galway is the haematology oncology centre for the west of Ireland. Mm. And there's 35 people on a waiting list there. And it's described as elective treatment, but it's not elective. You're given a schedule, let's say, minus 21 days. And it means that these people cannot get in to get their treatment. Now, there's a woman from Donegal who has life-extending care. So she has young kids, and she can't get in. And I was talking to the staff. Staff are absolutely brilliant. We have our diagnosis. We have our treatment. We can't get into the hospital to continue our treatment. Do you understand that, Craig? You witness so far?
No, yeah, of course. And it doesn't seem to matter whether you're a public patient or a private patient. Everyone's facing the same problems. Is that your experience?
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. The problem is that you cannot get in for a bed. Now, when you get in there, it's absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. But to get in. Now, my treatment, I did my first treatment in the clinic, but because it gets more complicated as you go on. Now, if I couldn't talk to you 2 weeks ago because I wouldn't be physically able.
Well, okay.
Because the treatment had been gone through. But I want to let the people know, and there's more people in Donegal than any other county, and they're travelling. I know how hard it is to travel down. I'm a lawyer there for the trade. I know how long it is to come down to Galway. But then come down and have no bed, or ringing every day to see if they're a bed, see can you get in, can you get in? And it's an impossible task.
Mm-hmm. And during your treatment recovery, Richard, you're trying to get as much awareness of this as is possible, contacting local representatives as well, too, just to try and, I suppose, let others that aren't directly affected by this know that this is actually what's going on in 26.
Well, exactly. 3 months ago, I did not know this existed. I'm 58 years of age.
Okay.
I was working up until the Thursday when I got my diagnosis. I was given a treatment plan. I never envisaged this as being an issue. Mm. It never was. Just do the treatment and this would be it. But trying to get into the university, and when you get in, it's fantastic. The diagnosis, all the rest, the nurses are brilliant. Just to get into one of them beds. And it's bad as it is for me, it's an awful lot worse for others.
Yeah.
There's Paddy, another lad from Donegal. You'd know these people, I don't know the second names.
I understand.
And he's above there since 8 weeks before Christmas.
And do you know when...
But he's on a continuous treatment.
When people get a diagnosis, you think the fight is with cancer, don't you? You know, you think, I'm going to beat this. I'm going to be around for my family. I'm going to fight as hard as I can. And right. I think, you know, people who haven't been through this, that's what they believe the fight would be. And yet... cancer's there, but the fight is actually to get your bloody treatment, to get a bed, to get in there, to get your operation. That's not the fight people be preparing themselves for, but unfortunately that's the fight fight.
It's you have said it exactly. You first go through a phase of denial, and then you say, well, I'm going to beat this, I'll do the best I can, or I'll extend my life as long as I can.
Mm.
And the staff do the best. Now, Dr. Krajicek, he is absolutely fantastic, brilliant, and he's frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to him there last Friday, and he was absolutely bewildered. And there's nothing he can do.
No, no, listen, and I've made... we were talking about this separately in the first hour about four local ladies having breast cancer treatment cancelled, Richard, and I was making the point, I don't know for an absolute fact as I haven't spoken to them, but I know that the surgeons are there, their teams are there, they're ready to go, they want to do this life-saving, life-extending surgery, these treatments, but the system is such that they have to operate in that they can't do that, and that is beyond frustrating. And I think, Richard, really just to conclude, what you're saying is that if you're not aware, make yourself aware. If you are affected, make sure that you're making representations to your local representatives, etc. And we have to say, don't we, Richard, this is not acceptable. This is a country that took in 106 billion euro in tax last year. This is a country that took in 11 billion in corporation tax in November that it hadn't even accounted for. This is a country that's putting money away for a rainy day fund. Well, I would argue it's pissing down at the moment, and this money needs to be properly put into areas like the health service to ensure that people are alive and healthy into the future, if you don't mind me saying, Richard.
Exactly. We're the second richest country in the world. And because of that, we should be able to... And the money is being spent on the health service, but where is it going?
Okay. Well, listen, we're giving 10 million euro. We're giving 10 million euro to the World Bank they didn't even want. But anyway, listen, Richard, I have to leave it there. Richard Kelly, a cancer patient, talking about the hematology-oncology situation. Now, that's down in Galway. 35 people, many of them from Donegal, waiting... on a list just to get into a bed to get treatment.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
It is that time of the week, Tuesday. It's the 13th of January, 2026. It's time for Community Garda information. And my guest this week is Garda Niall Maguire from Falkara Garda Station. Niall, thank you so much for calling in. And whilst it's halfway through the year, Happy New Year. I haven't seen you since
Same yourself and your listeners.
Okay. Right, let's get into the appeals. An appeal and in relation to dangerous driving in Inishowen.
Yeah, I suppose we're starting off the year as we ended the year, Greg. A lot of dangerous driving and criminal damage incidents that occurred over Christmas. Nothing too serious, thank God. But the ones we want to make an appeal in relation to, have a few listed here today. So if people could help us out, I'd appreciate it. So the first incident of dangerous driving, we got a report from a member of the public that a red tractor, a Fiat, with a partial registration of 84DL, had two young fellas on board at the time at Cockhill Road in Buncrana on Thursday the 8th of January, shortly before 2:20 p.m. So the driving was of such a nature that the person felt that the guard should intervene, and they made a call to ourselves, and we now wish to investigate this. So if anyone was on the Cockhill Road area on the Causeway Road in Macrana between 2 and 3 p.m. on that date, and they had dash cam footage maybe of this driving or of the tractor, 84DL, a red Fiat, and please maybe let my colleagues in Macrana have access to that, and they can be called on 074-9320-540.
All right, okay, and there aren't a million of these vehicles out there either, so someone will know something. Staying with dangerous driving, the focus now, Kilmacrennan.
Yeah, I suppose this happened during the snow, Greg, and there was a few incidents similar to this, where you know, a lot of young people, maybe they have quads and they're out in the roads and they think maybe going out in the snow is a bit of fun and stuff. But in this instance, from a member of public that said that they had to swerve out of the way of young people on quad bikes, and two of the quads had pillion passengers on board, and then when the guards asked them to stop, they failed to stop, and they went down a side road, and the guards didn't follow them anymore, didn't want them to cause an accident. So but they are looking into it, the guards in Milford, and they can be reached on 074-9153060. Now that occurred on the N56 between 1:30 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. on Tuesday the 6th of January. It was the same morning, Greg. I think Groin was on with yourself, and you were only talking about the use of quad that
day. Right,
you know, yeah.
That's crazy. Do you, as someone's been on the beat for quite some time now, are you seeing an increase in quad usage or misusage? Is that, is there a trend, or has this been ever present, and we just have to make sure? Because this is about, like, I presume it's obvious, Niall, but this is about avoiding those two quads coming together, four people being thrown off them, and two ending up dead and one with a broken back. That's the whole function of what you guys are doing and what you're trying to enforce, right? It's not to spoil fun or to party poop or what have you, but are you seeing any trends, or does this come and go over time now?
I think, Greg, what we're looking at maybe is that there's more availability of these machines. Mm. Like, they've gotten, you know, you can buy these cheap Chinese quads now, Greg. They're half the price of what a traditional firearm quad would be. So, yeah, there's a lot more of them on the road. I suppose the main way of looking at this, Greg, is it's really a parenting issue. It's not really a primarily a Garda function. You know, it's the parents that are the first responders in relation to looking after their own kids, you know. So if there is a quad, the parents would need to have access to land or whatever and have a sit down and talk to their kids about you know, about the use of quads, and certainly about not using them on public roads. Like, they're powerful machines, and you know, you just mentioned there broken back, Greg. I have experience of that. We had an accident several years ago. A young fella came off a quad, and he's now in a wheelchair in my own area, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And as you say, listen, the guards are there to clean up the mess effectively, and I don't mean that insensitively, or maybe I do, I don't know. Maybe we need to realise what the consequences could be. But one of these quads on the road needs to be registered, taxed, and in good roadworthy condition.
Yeah, it's supposed to be insured as well, Greg.
Yeah, of course.
And you need to have a driving licence, yeah.
Yeah. Right, let's go to criminal damage in Ballybofey.
Yeah, an incident of criminal damage occurred in Golan, Ballybofey, at approximately midnight on Saturday the 10th of January. Between midnight and Saturday the 10th of January and midday on the same date. So a fence at a house in that area was struck by a vehicle that failed to remain at the scene. The car drove through the fence, and there was car parts left at the scene, and from what I know, it's possible that it was a gold-coloured Renault Clio, approximately a year between 2009 and 2013 model. So there wouldn't be a lot of them gold Renault Clios about, I wouldn't think, Greg. So someone will be able to maybe point us in the right direction in relation to that. They're obviously missing parts of their car as well. So
just to reiterate, I mean, it is possible that that person left the road, hit the fence, drove off, thought, well, sure, I've done nothing wrong. I haven't hit a car, I haven't hit a person, I haven't hit an animal.
Yeah.
You know, the car, I lost control of the car, hit the fence, you know, and I'm away. They may be listening to this for the first time under the impression or knowing now that it's a matter for Gardaí. So yeah, if you damage property...
Well,
leave.
You've been very kind there, giving the benefit of the doubt,
well,
Greg. So
I do be accused of that at times.
But yeah, I suppose, you know, under the Road Traffic Act, that would technically be a hit and run when there's... Yeah. Like, it's one thing maybe, Greg, sliding off a ditch and into the shock on the side of the road and there's only damage to your own car.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what we would call reportable. You know, you don't have to report that to the garage, but when there's somebody's property damaged, you're obliged to give your details to the person that owns that property. And in this instance, they haven't done, as the person that owned the properties come forward and asked us to investigate.
All right, okay. It's a weekly feature now at this point. Either cars or vehicles targeted in criminal damage instances, and we're in Buncrana this week.
Yeah, another broken window, Greg, and this occurred in Buncrana on Thursday, New Year's Day, the 1st of January, between 2 a.m. and 11:50 a.m. 11:15 a.m. pardon me, that day, is the rear window of a car that was parked at Ardavan, Heights, Buncrana, was smashed between those times. No one entered the car, but it was just sort of criminal damage, Greg, is what we're classifying it. Okay. So my colleagues in Buncrana can be reached on 074-9320540.
All right, a couple of investigations ongoing, which are the subject of appeals today, into theft instances, starting in the south of the county, Mount Charles.
Yeah, in Mount Charles, on Tuesday the 6th of January at approximately 2 p.m, an orange safety boy with 500M printed on it, along with weights and chain, were removed from the water along the shoreline of Mount Charles Pier. So these are marker buoys that were placed in the water by the local swimming club to kind of help improve safety for everyone, Greg. So it's a little kind of floating water buoy that would have a chain and a weight that would be placed out so it wouldn't, people or swimmers could maybe swim inside sort of this designated safe zone. I suppose they're vital safety aids for swimmers. So we're interested to find out who took this and I suppose why they took it and if we can get it back again. So if anyone has any information, my colleagues in Ballyshannon Garda Station can be reached on 071 9858 530. Now, we are particularly interested in hearing about any sightings of a grey hatchback car that was in the area at the time with two males on board. And so if anyone was in the Mount Charles area on the 6th of the Tuesday the 6th at 2 p.m. well then maybe, and if they had dash cam footage or saw this car, please make contact with my colleagues.
That's very, very random. Yes. I can't even imagine, even if it were to secure their own boat somewhere, let's just say hypothetically, of that, the effort that to go into it, the difficulty in moving that, and then having this big buoy or buoy with 500 metres written on it, it makes no sense at all. This does make sense, right?
Yeah, I can't see any other use for this. Maybe a lobster pot or something like that. As a kind of, they kind of tie them up and mark them with these kind of things. So, like, maybe the fishermen that are in the area, if they do notice this orange marker boy, they'll be familiar with the boys because there's several of them down there, Greg, you know. But again, it's for the community and the local swimmers and stuff, which, you know, it's a great thing for them. But it's too bad now this has to be replaced because I'm sure there's a cost involved with this,
And the effort. But even the effort to remove it and transport it. It'll be interesting to see how that one is resolved.
Yeah, hopefully we do get it resolved. And if anybody knows where it is, just leave it somewhere or whatever.
It's literally of no use unless you try and repurpose it and it would stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't make sense. Okay. Theft incident now at Manorview Park in Letterkenny.
Yeah, a e-scooter was stolen from Manorview Park on the Sunday, the 11th of January at approximately 3:50 p.m. The brand is a Kukirin, K-U-K-I-R-I-N, G2 e-scooter. Two males in their late teens approached the rear of a property in the estate, and one of them, who was wearing a black jumper with the North Face and large white writing on the front of it, black tracksuit bottoms, black coat and the hood up and black trainers, so all in black, stole the scooter and left in the direction of the Long Lane. The second youth also had dark clothing on and wore his hood up. So anybody that was in the area of Manorview Park on Sunday the 11th of January at approximately 3:50 p.m. and maybe can help us locate the scooter, my colleagues in Letterkenny can be reached on 074 9167 100, or indeed call the Garda confidential line 1-800-666-111.
Yeah, and if you don't mind me saying, if you are a scooter owner, you know they're not cheap, keep an ear out, an eye out for property marking events, because they are so numerous it might be difficult to get that if it were found back to the rightful owner. So we often talk on this item about property marketing, and I think it's well worth getting your scooters marked.
Yeah, we've had a few stolen, Greg. Yeah, so it's a good idea to get a property marked, you know, just to put your air code on.
Because you remember back in the day, you'd have like 10 bikes down at the Garda station.
Yeah.
And you know, how do you get that? This is going back 10 years ago.
Well, nationally, Greg, you know, the stores, central stores and with for the guards are full of bicycles and e-scooters and stuff, and we've no way of getting them back, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Right, just a reassurance that we aren't talking to ourselves, Niall. There's an update from last week.
So, yeah, that's true. So last Tuesday morning, we made an appeal in relation to a theft of a car from Meetinghouse Street in Donegal Town. And thankfully, one of your listeners called in and pointed us in the right direction. And the car was then recovered near Eastern Order. So thanks for the member of the public who made that call. I suppose just going forward, Greg, for 2026, thanks a million for all your listeners and yourself for continuing to support what we do. And we have solved numerous crimes in relation to these appeals, and it's a mighty thing, and it's a community service, and we're delighted to be part of it. So we're always very grateful for any information that's given.
Brilliant stuff. And a lack of updates in terms of the appeals doesn't mean things aren't happening, but the wheels of justice and how they turn, sometimes for operational reasons, we can't always give updates. But great that we were today. Niall, thank you very much for calling in.
Super great.
Really,
thanks, William.
Appreciate it. That's Garda Niall Maguire from the Falkara Garda Station. You'll be able to listen and watch back to that on our podcasts and on our socials a little later on. And it's back live with you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Okay, so as you would be aware, we had some wonderful representation down at Stripe? What was it? Help me out, Aria.
So it's a Stripe Young Scientist and Technologist.
Because I've still got the BT in my head,
Oh, yeah, yeah. They changed the sponsor to Stripe.
Of course, yeah. And it's not written here. And if it's not written here, I don't know. Hey, Aria, congratulations. You did Loretta Secondary School, your friends, your family, and all of us very proud. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
Right, you received the second senior individual award in biological and ecological for the project Eco Purge, right? So talk to me about this project that you're working on.
So Eco Purge aims to develop a biodegradable plastic, which has an enzyme in it. So enzyme, whenever this biodegradable plastic degrades, the enzyme leaches out into the environment and degrades all the existing microplastic.
And when we talk about the plastic, they're in everyday items, aren't they? I mean, there has been some efforts to remove them from like body scrubs and stuff, but microplastics are everywhere, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere. Like even in our bloodstreams, I could say me, you, everyone has microplastics in them.
But we pick them up, don't we? They're not naturally in us.
They're not. I mean, they're naturally in babies now. The babies are born with them.
So because we emit them, they go into the waste, into the water, into the sea, and they just become part of but they're not natural, of course.
They're not natural, of course.
Okay, so what is the focus of your project then in more detail?
So my focus is to get rid of all the microplastics in the environment without any production of new plastic. Mm-hmm. So this biodegradable plastic can act as a delivery system for this enzyme, which can degrade all the existing polymer microplastics.
And how would we employ this enzyme to do this work? Or how would it be distributed?
Through the biodegradable plastic. So it'll be embedded into the biodegradable. Yeah.
Okay, I'm catching up now, right? This is why I didn't go. In other words, we would replace the production and the use of these going forward with a product that would actually work to undo the mistakes and the problems of the past.
Yes.
And is this achievable? Have you shown that this can be done?
Yes, I did 3 different experiments to see if it would work, and it did work for me. And I tested it through 3 different environments, which is compost, distilled water, and beach water from Rathmullen.
Mm. And it's important, isn't it, that these fully break down, because you know they'd be better in their entirety than in the micro form. Almost, if that makes sense.
So see what the enzyme does is the enzyme breaks the ester bond formed between PET plastic, which is made from ethylene glycol and terephthalic acid. So whenever it's a condensation polymerization, so whenever this polymerization occurs, an ester bond is formed, and then the enzyme aims to break that ester bond between that plastic. Between that two organic compound, which breaks it back down into that organic compound, and it can be eventually, ate by the microorganisms. So there's no any harmful substance that's going back into the world. It is something that's.
I love how you're looking at me as if I have a clue what you're saying. It is amazing. How did you get such an interest in this at your age? Because your knowledge. And the way you can explain it, I'm being a bit facetious there, the way you can explain it whereby someone like me can understand it, right? Yeah. Where did your love and passion come from?
And that's a really good, interesting question. So I always liked science, and especially when I got to TY, my biology teacher, Miss O'Reilly, she's a great teacher. Mm. She introduced me to SciFest. And then from there, I started my journey on this project. So I did project that was about more of a technology side, which was building a monitor which can detect all the parameters in water, which eventually got me a regional prize for SciFest, and then I went to the nationals for environmentalist award, which I also won the water category award, and then from there, that's where there was a big limitation to that project, which was that the sensors were not calibrated or were not good enough to detect any microplastics in water. And then many studies show that there are around 83% to 92% of nanoplastics actually found in drinking water throughout Europe, throughout the world, I would say. So I was like, why? That's where this all project began. So I would say that's what interests me, to ask questions and that led me to this whole research.
I think is amazing too, obviously, that you have this interest and this intelligence, but that we have the schools and the staff that you talked of that can harness that, can embrace it, can support you.
Support it, yes.
Which I think is fantastic, like, right?
It is.
Do you think in presenting this project, Aria, that you have to sort of make the people get it, if you know what I mean?
Yeah,
right?
I would say.
Like, if I wanted this feels like maybe the people judging it, right, don't know exactly what you're talking
about.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Because you're so deep into this, right?
Oh, yes.
That you want those that are judging this to, you understand what I'm doing here,
definitely,
right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because some people came across in the Stripe exhibition. Even the judges, the first judge that came to me, kind of misunderstood my project. They thought that, you know, the biodegradable plastic degrades and leaves some microplastics. Mm. And it degrades the microplastics of the non-harmful biodegradable plastic, but that was not my aim. So my aim was to, you know, make the biodegradable act as a carrier for this enzyme to degrade the other existing polymer.
Well, you only actually explained to me for 20 seconds, and I got it right. Okay, stay there. Thomas Downey from Ross's Community School collected the third Junior Individual Award, Biology and Ecological, for the project Jellyfish Barriers for Bathing Areas, and it was a great event for everyone at Ross's Community School, not least you. You did really, really well, and I think I'm going to be speaking to some of your fellow students in a moment. Congratulations, Thomas.
Thank you very much.
Right, okay. Jellyfish barriers for bathing areas. Right, I hate jellyfish. I'm just going to put that out there. But I respect them and I understand the place in the world, right? I just don't want to share space with them. Are you going to help me in that regard?
Well, I am.
Talk to me
about
it.
My project is to see whether or not simple and effective barriers can humanely and safely stop jellyfish from entering bathing areas such as beaches. Now, although jellyfish are very important for our environment, most beaches that people reside in, most people, you only ever use a small section of the water. So it's my belief that if we were to put something like a small net or something like that surrounding our beaches, this would negatively impact the environment and could positively impact tourism as more people go to beaches. Mm-hmm. As there would be less jellyfish.
How much of a jellyfish's movement is of its own accord and how much of it is tidal? Do jellyfish have control over where they're going in the direction or at the whim of the currents?
Now, jellyfish don't have any control of the actual movement. However, they can move on their own. Hmm. Essentially, what they do is they contract and relax their bell, which is the top part of the jellyfish. So that pulls in and pushes out water, causes them to very slowly move through the water. However, this force is nowhere near enough to withstand even the most light of currents.
Well, they can't be reasoned with. So we're going to have to. So the challenge here, though, is in doing this humanely, because we don't want a situation whereby we have, and you know they can swarm or shoal or however you describe it in huge numbers, right? You don't want this situation where they're all gathered on this. So have you been able to crack the code on this? How can we restrict them from certain areas but allow them then to go on their way? Or do they have to sit there till the tide turns or what?
Well, as jellyfish don't have any actual major ability to move, they are essentially just at the whim of the tide. Mm. So even if we were to push up just a smooth barrier that they could just bounce off, they're essentially just still at the whim of the tide. So mm-hmm. if the tide says you're going into this barrier, they're going into that barrier, and there's nothing we can really do about that.
All right, so do you believe that you could, or maybe you have, install something with the right resources that could prevent jellyfish in certain areas? Like, do you believe you've enough research done that this is achievable? Obviously you do, or else you wouldn't have got this fantastic award.
Now, I do believe that my project would work on a real-life scale. However, for the current moment, the price range that we would be talking about, like the least expensive being the bubble curtain method, which is one of three different barriers I tested, that comes up, which is it's the cheapest, and that comes up to about €40,000. That's just for the piping. Mm. And as the actual pumping stations to pump air down, which is part of the bubble curtain, as that's a case-to-case thing, that could be wildly expensive, that could be incredibly cheap, I don't know. So
yeah, but I think in terms of whether it can be applied or not, I think really, in fact, I think to develop something and prove its effectiveness in and of itself shows your ingenuity, right? And who's to say that something like this couldn't be repurposed and be more commercially viable? You've proven it, and that's the win, really, okay? Ira, what's your views on jellyfish?
Basically. I mean, I do like jellyfish.
You like jellyfish?
Yeah, even though they stink us, but still, they're cute.
They're not cute. What's your feelings about jellyfish, Thomas, now that you've got to know them a bit better?
Well, they are very interesting on how much they have almost nothing going for them. No brain, no bones, no heart. Not even veins. They're essentially just a very basic network of cells. However, I do not like them.
I've got into this rabbit hole of this shark that effectively lives forever, right? Are you familiar with this shark? Can't remember its name. But it doesn't die. Like, it dies because of stuff that happens to it. But these sharks are 600 or 700 years old. I can't remember what it's called. It will come back to me again. But I'm obsessed with these things, and I want to figure out some way of maybe learning from that so I could live forever. Right, that's what you have to work on next, right? How can I live forever? Aria, congratulations. Well done to you.
Thank you so much.
And keep us in the loop. I think we could have some really interesting conversations on the radio down the line. Okay. The same with you, Tomas. Congratulations on what you've achieved as well. To get the recognition that you did on a national scale, you know, thousands of people there, thousands of projects, thousands of great ideas. It really is a testimony to you, your families and your schools that you've achieved so much. So thank you very much for that. Staying with Ross's Community School, they won the Road Safety Authority Award, Chemical, Physical and Mathematical Sciences, for their project testing Irish seaweed as a low-cost, eco-friendly, absorbent product for road spills, road oil spills. Adam Krishka, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good.
Good stuff. Owen McGee, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, how are you?
Good to have you on board. Ryan Boyle, how are you keeping, Ryan?
Good, yeah.
Right, okay. So, Adam.
Yep.
Talk to me a little bit about this project.
So, well, we wanted to find something for more of the environment to help it. And we have loads of seaweed on our beaches that are just sitting there being unused. So we thought we could use that to help the environment in a way. And we've seen a couple of road spills around our area. So we thought maybe we could use that to absorb the spills.
Now, Ryan, we heard from your schoolmate, Thomas, there. You know, he came up with a solution, but not necessarily what could be applied. No, he's not your... he was actually, he's from your school. So because of the commercial element of it, right? The idea of this one, though, is that... It's inexpensive. Owen?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
So basically, it's almost completely free to use seaweed. All you need is a harvesting license if it's in large amounts. So.
Yeah. And Ryan, talk to me about what happened when you put the seaweed on the oil spills.
Well, when we put the seaweed onto the... Well, we use vegetable oil because we didn't have access to diesel at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when we put the seaweed onto the vegetable oil, which would have very similar viscosity as the diesel and petrol, it absorbed all of the vegetable, well, most of the vegetable oil.
Yeah, of course. And it's getting 90% of it, it's very effective. Adam, what happens then, though, to the seaweed? Does it degrade on the road? Does it have to be lifted again? And I suppose, how do you dispose of it now that it is, it's you know, got a chemical in it?
So, well, it's in we used small tea bags because we dry and grind it.
Okay.
So we keep it in tea bags so it's not a big mess tidying up. So we were thinking that they could have it in big mesh bags, and after it's used, they could squeeze out the oil, use it again, and then just dump the seaweed back into the nature.
All right, okay. And Owen, I suppose you tested this on oil spills, but this could be effective in many different ways potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, what other applications do you think it could be useful for?
It's possible it could work for ice on roads. It could absorb water that builds up from the ice on roads. That's possible instead of grit. So.
Ryan, do you have to prove the science of this, right, with a project like this? You know, you can't is it enough to say, right, here's seaweed, here's its ground, it's in a bag, this is what it does? Or do you have to talk to the science of what's happening?
Well, in the seaweed, there's a thing, it's called alginate.
And I've stuck you with all the big words, haven't I? This is by accident, by the way.
Yeah. I think it's sugar molecules, like together, and they absorb liquids very well. So, like, people have known about that for many years.
Yeah. And how difficult, Adam, was it in terms of testing? You know, how much of it was absorbed, the different road surfaces and all that kind of stuff. Was that a challenge?
Not really. It took quite a while, as we had to do multiple tests to get, like, averages. But it wasn't too difficult, but it took a couple of months to have all the tests finished.
And I suppose, Owen, whenever we're trying to fix a problem with something that's there already, we're all, you know, I think that's a great starting point, isn't it? Rather than manufacturing something that in and of itself could be damaging to do the same job.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to use something that's already there, but there wasn't too much research on the effectiveness, so.
Yeah. And the judges were full of praise. He tackled a real road safety issue, which we're all aware of, offered a practical environment solution, which we've discussed, and combined strong experimental science with data analysis. How was that broken down? Which one of you is the more nerdy, if I could put it like that, in a complimentary way, right, that loves getting into the numbers, or is all into that?
Kind of split all evenly.
Brilliant stuff. All right. And what next now for you, lads? Are yous mates generally, or did yous come together for this project?
Yeah, we're all friends. Yeah.
And you're all in TY?
No, second year.
Okay, brilliant stuff. All right. And is this an area that you're interested in, Ryan? You know, sort of science, or has this just been part of your school up to now?
Yeah, I've always been interested in, like, science and, like, animals and plants and stuff like that. So it's good to get a project about stuff that I like.
And like-minded lads.
Yeah.
That sort of, you know, you can have the same conversations. Adam, what are you interested in beyond this sort of space or in this space?
Yeah, we all do science, so we're already interested into the competitions and all. I like more into kind of space science.
Yes.
I like more interest in that.
It's fascinating space, isn't it? What area? Sorry, just briefly.
What is space science? How it works?
I don't know all of it, really.
Just like the science.
I was driving home from work there the other day, and it was the middle of the day, but that point, this is not necessarily science, where you can see the half moon in the daylight sky, and you can see it in much more detail sometimes than you can at night. And I was thinking, this is just amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. What about you, Owen?
I'm interested in science, but also quite a lot of history and technology. So.
Brilliant, okay. All right. AI, what do you think about that? Is it going to be a game changer, or is the bubble going to burst, Owen?
I think it's a game changer, but I think it's ruining the world, in my opinion.
Well, hold on a second. Why?
Well, firstly, AI uses...
Because I kind of agree, by the way. Go on.
AI uses loads of water, and it's almost melting our brains using AI for everything. So it's taking loads of water.
Critical thinking I'm concerned about. Do you know where we think about how we resolve something? And I don't mean in a deep way that you guys have done with this seaweed experiment, but I don't want to just basic problem solving. Already people are asking Grok, you know, tagging Grok in a post or asking Gemini or OpenAI, you know, are we going to lose the critical thinking? I hope not.
Yeah, I think AI can do good, but say OpenAI, I don't think that should really be a thing.
Yeah. Okay. Adam, AI, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really good, but I think we might be relying on it a bit too much,
and we might just
use AI more than just relying on ourselves.
What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, same as Adam. We're relying on it a bit.
Yeah,
too much,
I think so. We could do a program on that into the future, lads. All right, listen, thank you very much. Congratulations to the three of you. Keep doing what you're doing. And it's clear, even though you might not necessarily apply your skills in this area, you may very well, you have got the wherewithal to do whatever you want. Just set your minds on it and you can achieve it. Adam Kreisker, thank you.
Thank you.
Owen McGee, lovely to have you in.
Yes, thank you.
Ryan Boyle, good man. Look after yourself. You. And that's where we leave it on the show for today. Thank you to all who listened, who watched the programme. We're back tomorrow morning at 9.